You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. The book of Revelation tells us that there was a recent war in heaven in this end time. Now, I believe that we can prove to you that that was just a little over 28 years ago. And I say that because of a specific individual who lived and has since died. But we have booklets to show this to you more clearly and give you more details on that. But this is truly something that sounds outrageous to a lot of people, but it's right there in your Bible. It's right there in the Scriptures in your Bible, and you can prove it, most of them coming from the New Testament. So they're available to us. If we closely study that war, you will see that Satan, as in his worst wrath, he's in a mad frenzy because of something he knows that many people on this earth doesn't know. He knows that he is about to be removed from his rule on this earth and his influence on this earth and replaced by Jesus Christ himself. He knows that that time is almost here. Now, many events on this earth are happening because of that war. And what does it mean to you? It's going to affect you and every single individual on this earth. And I mean in a dramatic way, according to your own Bible. You don't need to take my word for it, and you never should take my word for it. But you can take God's word for it, and you can prove what that word is. So these words may sound strange, but you have to remember that the book of Revelation says in the very first verse that God is going to reveal these things to his servants of that which is shortly going to come to pass. And it's almost solely focused on the end time. So let's take a look at that war in Revelation 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, or his demons now, fallen angels. Verse 8 says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So Michael and his angels fought, and they won that war and cast Satan and the demons down to this earth. And now they're confined to this earth and not even able to go back out into the universe at all. I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of demons and Satan himself cast down to this earth, evil beings. And can you imagine what they might be doing on this earth? You don't have to look around too far to see that, I think. But it says in Romans 8 that the whole universe is groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for the sons of God to free them from their bondage. That bondage that was caused by Satan's rebellion two different times, but in particular, the one in this end time caused a lot of damage. So God has a system and a plan to solve that problem. But if you think about this great being and all of those fallen angels having access to the universe and even to God for all this time, and now suddenly they can't do anything but just operate here on this earth. And they're all full of violence and war and lying and every evil you can imagine. Now, that's what your Bible says, but how many people really believe that? I mean, it's so clear in your Bible. I'll show it even here in just one chapter. You can see that, but there are many other verses that give support to that statement. Now, we know that the earth and this universe is going to blossom like a rose. God has promised that. And Satan knows He absolutely knows that that time is almost here. And I wonder how many people know that, well, as much as the devil, about what is coming upon this earth. Notice verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, or the fallen angels, the demons, were cast out with him. Now, he's deceived the whole world, so you have to believe Satan has a lot of power. But what does this mean now if he's cast to this earth and just solely concentrates on this earth because he cannot go back into the universe anymore and do any more damage that he has done out there and left it just a virtual wasteland? Not the way God created it at all. But what think about some of the problems we have on this earth. You just see them around you all the time, and pretty soon we get conditioned to them, think, well, that's just the way the world is. But look, how much of this can we take before everything really, really begins to fall apart? We see drug problems all the time, people dying from drug overdoses, and the war against drugs was lost long ago. We see the U.S. has created more debt than any nation ever on this earth. And I heard one financial expert state recently that said, he said that once you get in there and begin to examine that debt closely, it's very scary. Well, I would think so. It's our debt is soaring out of control like a fiery rocket that's gone astray. What are we going to do about that? Are we going to face that problem instead of letting it get worse and worse and worse? Where is it all going to end? Do you think maybe Satan and the demons might have something to do with that? Families are breaking down. Nations are hating and fighting against each other and warring. And there's rumors of wars and all of that. And we have weapons of mass destruction that are just proliferating all over this earth, including nuclear bombs. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about crime that's out of control, or pornography that's out of control, that is mostly spewed out into this world from the U.S.? What do you think God thinks about that? Well, if you know anything about the Bible, you know what He thinks about that. But anyhow, when Satan was cast down, that was just a sharp and immeasurable turning point in this world. Everything began to go into a wrong direction in this world. Satan is very powerful, and he has caused immense destruction, and he's going to cause a lot more. But notice what it says in Revelation 12 and verse 12, and then think about, well, how many people do you hear talking? How many other ministers do you hear talking about a verse like this and telling you what it really says and what it really means? Verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. That's because Satan has been cast out, and he no longer has access. So all the heavens out in the universe, they're rejoicing because there are no more Satan the devil and demons out there. Now that's just God has already begun to work to kick Satan off his throne. And he's already destroyed rebellion in the universe. And now he's about to start on this earth. So God says the people or the beings and the angels out in the universe can rejoice. And they are rejoicing. But what does it say about the earth? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Even in the sea there is going to be just all kinds of woe. What is God talking about here? What is He prophesying? Well, and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. I mean, this is unheard of woe, but Satan the devil knows something that most people on this earth do not know. He knows he has but a short time for to what? To the very second coming of Jesus Christ, when he's going to be kicked off his throne and sent into outer darkness forever. Now, he knows that. That's why he's in such a heated furor over what's happening. He knows it. And his time is short, and he knows it. God has already kicked him out of the heavens. Next comes the earth, and he knows all about God's plan. But look, in that little interval that he has left, he's going to just massively inflict pain upon this world. The biblical expression, the great tribulation through that, and the day of the Lord, this earth is going to see suffering and violence and murder like it's never ever seen before at any time in its history. That's what many prophecies tell you. Now, I'm not just fabricating that. That's what the Bible says. Notice verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. The first thing he did when he was cast down is he persecuted the woman. He went to God's church. That woman is a symbol of God's church. And just 95% of God's people have fallen away and had their faith destroyed by Satan and those demons. I mean, they just flocked to the Church of God and destroyed it so quickly. So quickly. God says that happened. And if you had anything to do with that church, especially if you were God's very elect, you'd have to know when that happened. Even to the day it started. And I think to the very day that the war in heaven ended and Satan lost, and he's been filled with wrath ever since. And he's taking out his wrath on this earth. So says your Bible. Now those are difficult words and difficult prophecies in many ways. But God's true church, or especially the very elect, would have to understand when that happened. And that gives you, some very specific dates. Some very specific dates indeed. That was the worst crisis ever to strike God's church in terms of numbers, numbers of people who had their faith destroyed. This is a colossal disaster inside the church of God. I mean, there's never been a bigger disaster. Because Satan is full of wrath. You can read Daniel 8, verses 11 and 12, where they cast truth to the ground. God's own people inside the church cast truth to the ground. The truth of God. But it goes on to say there's a very wonderful ending to all of that. Notice 2 Thessalonians. All this is tied to the second coming. In fact, that's the main subject of this. Notice verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by our concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. It's about the return of Christ. But people are deceiving others about when it is. And Paul says, now listen, I'm going to give you a sign to show you when it's going to happen. And it's going to revolve in many ways around two men. Two men, two individuals who lived, and is no longer living, and who were inside of God's church. But notice, this goes on to say in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is the second coming of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first, a great falling away, most of the commentaries say. And that's what it means. And that man of sin be revealed, a man, this son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So here is a sign to God's people, a man of sin, a son of destruction. The Moffat calls him the lawless one. The lawless one, a man inside God's church who should be teaching the law, is lawless. He's lawless. Now you can see it says in the Interpreter's Bible that this at hand also means has set in. It's already set in. This prophecy is in process, and it has set in and even started out there with that war in heaven, and now demons and Satan have been kicked out of the heavens, and they're about to be kicked out of the earth as well. It has all set in, and that ends with the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Multiple prophecies tell you that. It's already begun. And of course, that son of perdition has the title of Judas Iscariot, who was possessed by the devil. And he's the one that led the enemy to crucify Jesus Christ, led them to find him. And is this man in the end time, is he in a similar spiritual condition? Well, you need to look into these scriptures, I'll tell you, because they are in some ways quite scary. But notice verses 5 through 7, "Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that what withholds," that is Greek kateko, meaning restrains or holds back, that he's the man that was holding all this back, something happened to him. He was God's apostle or God's leader. And it goes on to say that he, that is the man of sin, might be revealed in his time. "For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now restrains," it should read, that's kateko again, meaning to restrain, "will let," or restrain, it should read, "or hold back until he be taken out of the way by God himself." God is going to take him out of the way and give these evil people and these evil spirits just all the leeway they want. And if God's people don't trust him, they're going to be seeing their faith disappear and their spiritual lives destroyed. And that's what happened to 95% of them. Thankfully, 50% of them will repent in that great tribulation, which is the wrath of the devil. So all of these things are working together for good. But when you start talking about this individual, well, he died a little over 28 years ago. And you can begin to piece these things together and see when that war in heaven ended. And I believe to a very close little time frame, perhaps a month and perhaps even a day, the day it happened. But this is talking about real men and this happening in the church in the end time. And surely God's very elect would have to know that if they're a part of all this. And other people can know it if they look into it and understand these scriptures. They can see that it's real and that it's true, and they can see where it's all going to end, and that fills them with hope. It should fill everybody with hope. But when you get into talking about real men, specific individuals, let me tell you, that means, that tells you that the Bible is really detailed and gives you a vivid picture of what is happening on this earth and what is going to happen in the future. That time frame becomes really, really quite revealing. So there was a man that really was taken out of the way by death. God let him die and just turned Satan loose on the church. Because they didn't, and because he wanted to test them and see if they had the faith to trust him to protect them. And they didn't. They didn't. 95% of them didn't. Satan was cast down, and, well, God's people didn't have the faith to withstand that. You see, if we want God's protection, when in all of the turbulence of this world, we need His faith in us, Christ's faith in us, Galatians 2 and verse 20. We need that, but verse 11 talks about He was turned loose on them, and God is allowing and sending the full force of evil's delusion. Can you believe that? That God Himself sent that to the church to test them? He wanted to know if they believed Him, if they trusted Him. And they didn't, not very much at all. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now that vain philosophy is after the rudiments of the world. What is that? Well, the New Testament, the today's English version, translates that expression as ruling spirits of the universe. Ruling spirits of the universe. But they're not anymore. They're not ruling spirits of the universe anymore. They're just ruling spirits on this earth. God has already kicked them out of the universe. But they are of the universe. They're universe beings. And God is going to use mankind if they will allow Him. And most of them will, according to the prophecies in the Bible. But God is going to recreate Himself in man and let man do, or His own sons do, what Satan and the demons fail to do. And the angels cannot be entrusted to do, because only God Himself can be trusted to, well, beautify and build the universe the way God wants it to be done. So we need God's protection. The church needs God's protection. You need God's protection. I need it. If we don't have that, Satan is going to get to us. Just like he did to God's church. And the same principle applies to the nations of Israel, America and Britain and the Jewish nation and others, other nations of Israel, and really it applies in principle to the whole world, that look, if you don't have faith, you don't have God's protection from the devil and those evil spirits. And that means disaster is facing you in many ways. Satan is the god of this world. People worship him to this day, but it's a lot worse now than it was just a few years ago. We'll say 28 years ago, something like that. It's a lot worse today. You can read now over in Daniel. I'll just paraphrase this to you. Daniel 8, verses 9 and 10, where it talks about the host of the stars, that is the angels, are fighting against the demons that are using that 95% that rebelled against God. So there's an army of demons and angels going at each other, and the angels of God are using God's very elect, and the demons are using that 95% that rebelled against God. It's really these spirit beings that are doing the battling. Angels and demons at war. And that's the real Star Wars, because your Bible refers to those angels as stars. But you can go ahead and read in verses 23 through 25 about what Satan is going to do through a Holy Roman Empire on this earth. And this man that heads that conglomerate is going to have power from Satan the devil. But then you go on and read in verse 25, he's going to battle and be at war with Jesus Christ Himself, and is going to be destroyed by Jesus Christ at His second coming in verse 25 of Daniel 8. He's going to be destroyed by the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now, how many people believe those prophecies? This is from Daniel, the only book where it specifically says it's just for the end time. The only one that, well, explicitly says that. Others apply only to this end time. But what are we to do? when we read scriptures like this. Let me just read to you about Christ's second coming to destroy that evil empire. Verse 25, "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many." That is, he lies about peace. "And he shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes," Christ himself, "and he shall be broken without hand." Christ is going to break that evil, evil empire and bring peace and joy and happiness to this earth forever. But every time you see that rebellious, satanic warring on this earth, it all ends with the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. Thank God for that. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more information on today's program, request our free booklet on Colossians. Colossians looks at the history of the first century church and shows how Satan is using the same deceptive methods today. Please also request our two free reprint articles that discuss the power of Satan the devil and show that he has been cast down to the earth in very recent times. As you'll see from studying today's free literature along with your Bible, there's much physical evidence in God's church of the spiritual destruction Satan has caused. While it isn't fashionable in this world to believe in a devil, your Bible reveals that he is very real and active today. Satan's main tool is deception. To make sure you're not being deceived by Satan, request our free reprint articles and our booklet on Colossians. Also, be sure to request a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Don't miss this month's issue, which features Gerald Fleury's lead article, "The Ukraine Crisis Was Prophesied." For a sneak peek at this month's Trumpet magazine, as well as articles and Trumpet daily videos, please visit us online at thetrumpet.com. Request our free booklet on Colossians and our two free reprint articles on Satan's power. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.